It is a massive year coming up for the Bulldogs, any which way you look at it. A central figure in that is their general manager of football. I'm talking about Phil Gould. He's been good enough to join us on the line this morning. G'day, Gus.
Hello, Jimmy. How are you doing?
Yeah, really well, mate. You've been a player at the Bulldogs. You've been a coach at the Bulldog. Now you walk in as an administrator at the Bulldog. Did the Bulldogs look the same this time around as it has done in its previous incarnations for you?
It was a long time since I'd been at the Bulldogs, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Going back to the 80s and 90s, it was like another planet back then. Look, a lot of it is very much the same. Certainly a lot of the similar people around the club and certainly in the supporter base in the local area, which has been, was really fun, actually, getting back to see a lot of people that I hadn't seen for a long time. The club itself, obviously, has been struggling over the last few years. They've run 13th, 13th, 15th, 15th and 16th.
Mm.
So you can imagine there's a real need for improvement there at the moment.
Gus, you wouldn't have had any shortage of offers. You obviously had that deal with the Warriors as well around that time. What was it, though, about the Bulldogs that you wanted to be involved in? Was it the chance to build up a club like you did at the Panthers?
Well, obviously, Bulldogs are a former club of mine, as Jimmy pointed out. And, I'd played with the Panthers and coached at the Panthers and went back in an administrative role. And I coached at the Roosters and went back in an administrative role, a coaching director's role. And then at the Bulldogs, I'd played and coached and, again, invited back to do this job. So it was a simple choice for me. It was difficult at the time because I was on contract to the Warriors. And my difficulty with the Warriors was COVID. I just couldn't get across to New Zealand to do the job that I wanted to do. In fact, the first time the Bulldogs approached, I knocked them back because I felt guilty that I hadn't been able to do much for the Warriors, and the bubble was just opening up, and that was around Magic Round this year. And I actually got over to New Zealand 2 weeks in a month, so I went over there for about 8 or 10 days, and we managed to set up the Warriors Academy and get some staff employed to operate that, and it's going really well over there for them, and it's very important for them because the Warriors haven't been home for 2 or 3 years now, and they've got to get their development pathways right across there. So once the second COVID sort of shut us all down, I had a talk to the Warriors, and they were terrific people, Mark Robinson and Cameron George, and they said, no, look, the Bulldogs is a great opportunity, and it was, and I was very excited about that. So it was an easy choice to come back and try and help the club.
The challenge is enormous, Gus. So many areas in need of attention. I know you've done it before, but where do you start? Do you come in and there's something very obvious that you start with?
Oh, it's both, Jimmy. It's, everyone wants what short-term results, but you've got to have a long-term plan. And that's, my only way to build clubs or to do things as we've done in the past is to take a long-term view towards it. There are obviously many short-term things that you can improve straight away. And that comes out of the motivation of your staff and your players and the board and the people there at the time, because everyone wants to win. No one wants to be running last.
Yeah.
But I've got to have my eye 3, 4, 5, 10 years down the track to see what the Bulldogs look like over the next decade. And I think that's the long-term way out of it, is that they have sustainable success and that they're consistent over a long period of time. Once you're consistent, once you're constantly making the top eight and challenging for a title a couple of times a decade, if you're a Sydney club, I think that's a good result, then everything improves. Sponsorship improves, gate takings improve, merchandise improves, membership improves, everything. Everyone's job is easier if you're winning.
Yeah.
Football clubs are a terrible place to be when you're losing.
Gus, you've had a lot of recruitment in the past couple of months. That it's looking really exciting, a few really exciting players. And I imagine that when you come into a club that's struggling a little bit, you probably have to pay a little bit overs. I'm just assuming here. But when they've had such salary cap drama in the past few years that put them in such a bad position, how much does that weigh on you moving forward? And how much thought do you put into that when you are doing this complete rebuild?
It's a good question, and people often ask that question. The Bulldogs don't have a salary cap problem. They've got a losing problem. They've only won 6 games in the last 2 years, and that puts pressure on your salary cap. It puts pressure on people to perform.
Mm.
That's only natural in any club. So what we have to do is find winning players and winning combinations and, to get the club out of the cellar and back into a competitive mindset. So know, whether that means readjustment to the roster or what have you, doesn't matter. A lot of the players that were purchased this time around were purchased before I got there. But we've got to manage what the next, as I say, the next 2, 5, 10 years looks like down the track, and how that. The Bulldogs don't have a salary cap issue. They've got a losing issue at the moment, which, you know, we're working hard to address.
Of all the players, and Jaleesa mentioned that there's a host of them, of all the new players that are coming in, which are the ones, or who is the one that you're most excited about, Gus?
Oh, I'm excited about them all, Jim. Yeah, and they have signed some good players too. You know, obviously the high-profile ones like your Davida Pangai Jr. and your Josh Addo-Carr. You know, they're marquee players in any realm. Paul Vaughan and Matt Duffy have come across from the Dragons looking for another opportunity. You know, and there are some players here that have, you know, probably flown under the radar a little bit, both with the Bulldogs and coming into the roster, that have trained very well and are looking to, you know, improve their careers. And it's important for every player on our roster this year coming up for their own personal careers and for the club itself. So what I'm feeling is a great spirit of cooperation. Everyone's working really hard. I guess every club is saying that. I think it's going to be a great season coming up, because we've had no rep football this year. We got to finish, you know, the first weekend of October, and the players have been able to get home, get out of the bubble, get out of quarantine, get out of Queensland, not have to worry about rep football, and every club's going to have a full off season, which I think is going to make a big difference to these players leading into next year. So whilst we're running last, it's going to be even harder to climb the ladder, knowing that everyone else is going to be preparing just as well as we are.
It's, of course, going to take a bit of time, but, you know, rugby league, everyone's impatient. Everyone wants results just immediately. Realistically, what do you think is achievable in 2022? What are you hoping for?
I just said that. Short-term results out of a long-term plan. That's a challenge for every head coach in the league. We just want to improve. You know, we were clearly the least performing team in the competition over the last couple of years. We had struggle scoring points. We had trouble stopping points. We just want to give something for our fans to cheer for. We want them something to be proud of. And I'm sure the boys will do that. I'm sensing a real spirit there at the moment, which is pleasing. The coaches are working hard. The players are working hard. We've established the new Bulldogs Academy for all our junior rep programs, which I'm very excited about. We've struck up relationships with North Coast and Greater Northern areas in New South Wales to help with not only participation, but the development of young footballers in those regions, and give them a pathway into the NRL if they're good enough and if they so desire. And I've been had a couple of country visits now up to Coffs Harbour and South West Rocks, Port Macquarie, Wauchope. Just before Christmas, I was out in Armidale and Tamworth, and I'll be getting up to those areas as well. It's about the long term. It's about, you know, giving kids opportunity, getting them into the Bulldog Academy, and hopefully over a course of time producing the majority of our players from teenage years through to playing first grade. I think that's where your club develops the best, and that's what, you know, gives them the best chance of long-term sustainable success. This season, this year, will be all about improvement, and so will a lot of other clubs. There's probably 6 or 8 clubs that are in exactly our position that are looking to try and get up into that top 8, because that's where you need to be for your club to be deemed successful, and for everything else about your business, the financial part of your business, to survive. Losing is bad for business.
Do you attach a ladder position to that in 2022, or is that something you'd rather not do and in your own mind would not rather box yourself into?
Are you going to ask this question 7 different ways?
Come on, Gus. Can't you just give me one list? Just where are you going
to... Just a number between 1 and 16.
Where are you going to be? Like,
we're aiming for the top, baby. I don't know how long that's going to take, but we're aiming for the top.
Yeah.
That's
your
answer.
Yeah.
All right. So premiership in 2022. Sounds great, Gus.
That'll do. Everyone will believe that.
Gus, describe Trent Barrett as a coach.
Mate, I've always had a real love for Trent Barrett, both as a player and a coach. And I gave him his first opportunity to coach with the Panthers. And he first came into our halfback academy out there, our playmaker academy. He was easily the more impressive of anyone that I brought into that. He coached our under-20s. He took off and took an NRL job at Manly, which I think was a bit before his time. But he showed his potential there. He came back and helped the Panthers last year. The year that they made the grand final and unfortunately lost, and then he moved on to the Bulldogs, which was another big challenge for a rookie coach. But you know, part of me coming back to the Bulldogs was you know was Trent as well, because he was doing it a bit tough. And I think he's potentially an outstanding NRL coach, and I'm sure he'll prove that over the next decade.
Just in mentioning Penrith, grand final loss in 2020, grand final victory in 2021. Your fingerprints are all over that, Gus, but you're not there to enjoy that success. When you view it from that lens, how do you view it?
I'm very proud of everything that's happened with that club over the last decade.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people work very, very hard. You know, my job was to get the right people in the right roles. And we came from a pretty low base when I first started, but they're now the premier club in the NRL, and that was always the goal. And they've done outstandingly well.
Mm. Gus, when you walked into the Bulldogs, was the job, as you saw it from the outside, or was it a bigger job once you got in there in multiple areas?
I was under no illusions about how big the job was going to be. You don't have the sort of form that they've had over the last 4 or 5 years without a number of issues. But I will say that John Coorey and his board had worked very hard over the last 12 months. They've had some issues at the board level over the last 5 years with a couple of different board groups coming through. And John Coorey over the last 12 months has certainly done a lot of work in preparation for my arrival. And a lot of the internal issues had been resolved, and I think the board's about to be elected unopposed. The next election's early next year, which is a great sign of stability for the club, and it's a pat on the back for our current board. And I think that's a start. If you've got stability in the front office, I think that really helps. And you know, the football program, we'll work hard on that and see if we can get some results on the field. Like I kept saying to all the staff, the administrative staff, the management, the board of directors, the people at the Blues Club, you know, everyone gets judged by that scoreboard on Sunday when the first grade team plays. You know, that's unfair very, very often for a lot of the hard work that they do.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the reality of being in the NRL. If that scoreboard is not right on the weekends, then the whole club gets judged and the perception of the club is very, very different. So in football, we have a real responsibility in the way we represent the club, and we are the flagship. We are the way the club will be perceived by our behaviour, by our football, by our results, and that's the commitment we have, and that's what they sign up for. That's being a professional footballer. So I'm sure the players and the coaches are aware of that. Everyone's working hard. But like I say, a lot of hard work had been done before I got there,
right?
And you know, we've still got a lot of work to do, but you know, it's an exciting prospect.
Just hearing feel about that North Coast and greater northern areas that you've mentioned there. It smells very much like Bathurst and Dubbo that the Panthers have done with great success. I know you've made some key appointments with the head coach of the Bulldogs Academy and Pathways, Shane Millard. He keeps telling me, Shane, how well he's doing there and what a great job he's done. Can you actually confirm that?
Shane's not short of giving himself a rap, Jimmy, as you know.
He reckons he's getting messages all the time from you saying, yeah, great job, Billy.
Yeah, look, on this occasion, he's probably going better than he admits. He's been terrific. He's been one of our key recruits. And I was blessed in the people that we had as our academy coaches at the Panthers, because we had a couple of young blokes that just their whole life was just living and breathing rugby league, and they were so passionate about what they do. And those people are invaluable to your football program. They're the ones that the kids first meet and they're first coached by and they're first educated by when they come into the club, and it's a really key position. So when we set up the Bulldogs Academy, Barry Ward had already been appointed as general manager of Pathways, and he's doing an outstanding job. He's a real Bulldog man.
Yeah.
He knows the Bulldogs back to the front. But we just needed those couple of blokes that would come in and that I knew would be passionate about it, that there was no Bundy clock. They would just work 7 days a week and be very passionate about it. And as you know, Shane Millard, that describes him to a T, Japri Singh, who we got across. He'd been working with the Sharks Academy, and they've run some terrific programs over the last 8 or 10 years themselves. And I was keen to get Japri across to work with us, so in high performance. So Shane and Japri, they're the high performance coaches for the Bulldogs Academy. Then we have our junior rep coaches on top of those, and then we have our country affiliates, and we get out and do coach-to-coach programs. And we want to help country rugby league with participation, because there's a lot of areas that are struggling up there to get teams and for kids to get around. And in the country, you've got the tyranny of distance. It's a long way for people to getting to and from games. You've got the COVID situation to get around, which has really knocked junior sport and regional sport around over the last couple of years. And we've got to help them come out of that. And then obviously we're looking for elite players as well. So they go into an elite program that we run a number of satellite academies around that greater northern and north coast area, and I've been up there a couple of times to look at facilities and meet with people on the ground up there. And these programs don't survive without the support of volunteers and local people who just love the game and want to help out and want to help the kids. And that was a big part of the success of the Panthers, that we had people in Bathurst and Dubbo and Forbes and Orange and Parks and these areas that were working closely with our academy coaches. And you've seen the result there with the number of NRL players that it's been able to produce. And we hope to get similar results with the Bulldogs. And, you know, I think every NRL club should be looking at regional areas to assist. And I think it's going to happen more and more. I think the Panthers have certainly led the way there, but other clubs will soon follow. And as I've discussed with Peter Volandis and Andrew Abdo a lot of times over the last couple of years, you know, the NRL should be helping to fund a lot of this too, you know, to incentivise clubs to do it. There should be rewards for developing players. There should be incentives for developing players. There should be rewards under the salary cap for those that come through to play NRL level. And that will help investment in regional rugby league and give these volunteers the support and the respect that they need. There's a lot of people working out there at the grassroots of the game that, you know, they're not after money and they're not after pats on the back. They're just a little bit of recognition and respect for what they do is all they require, and they do the job for you.
Guys, I've got a bit of an off-field question for you. I've loved following you on Twitter. You're one of the people that just tweets all the time. Do you like that interaction? Sometimes I can't tell if you're liking, you're enjoying it or if you're not.
It's a love-hate relationship. You've got to have a spell every now and then because it just drives you mad. But no, it's good fun. It's good fun to communicate with the membership, and particularly with the Bulldogs too, because it's been great getting their feedback and talking to them, and they're getting all very excited. I think it's I'm hoping that we're coming into an exciting period for the Bulldogs. Mm. We've signed some really nice quality players, and they haven't had much to cheer for over the last few years. So if they can interact with me on social media and get a little bit more information, and we can excite them to get to the games, and then the players can do the right thing and win a few and give them something to cheer about, then hopefully we're on our way. We know the Bulldogs are a big club and a great club. And, it won't take much to stoke the fire there if the team can be successful on the field. But, yeah, the Twitter is interesting, no doubt about that.
Phil, Channel 9.
It's easier talking about the cricket than it is about the football.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you love your cricket. Channel 9 has been entrusted with the free-to-air broadcast coverage of the National Rugby League over the next 5 years. You're a key part of that. Well, why, in your mind, should people be excited about that, given all the different platforms that the Nine organisation can now bring to the league?
It's a big organisation now, Channel 9, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's massive. It's grown tremendously over the last few years and done a great job for the game. I mean, the broadcasters in particular, having to support this program to keep the game alive, you know, through quarantines and bubbles and changes of location and relocation of the competition and changes sometimes on the morning of the game. It's been very difficult for them, and they've worked in partnership with the NRL, who've worked extremely hard to keep the competition going as well. But I really feel great for all the people that work behind the scenes in these things, Jimmy. There's a lot of people working in the wide world of sports and in the rugby league program, and all our producers and staff and office staff and cameramen and people who get the show on the road and get the trucks out to the games. And there's a lot of people employed by Channel 9 to be running this Channel 9 broadcast every year in the rugby league. And it's a big operation. They do it extremely well. And I'm glad they were awarded for another 5 years with it, because they're the best in the business.
We have a caller, a regular caller here at 1170 SEN. His name's Harry. He's become very quickly a listener favourite, certainly a host favourite as well. I think you were listening the other day and you heard that Harry's a Bulldog supporter and you were going to get him out of pack. Have you been able to deliver the pack for Harry?
Yeah, Harry's got a gift. There's been a couple that have been relayed to me of Bulldog supporters ringing in, or people, and it's been a hard time, particularly during COVID, particularly for elderly people or supporters and those that have been isolated on their own, and, you know, the opportunity to reach out in the community. Our players do a terrific job. The club does a terrific job. I think all NRL clubs do in trying to keep contact with these people. And whilst the players have certainly been isolated in bubbles over the past couple of years, the office people and the administrations and the community programs of all NRL clubs have done a terrific job, you know, interacting with people and trying to make life a little easier. And Hopefully we can learn to live with this virus, and you know, vaccination's a big part of that.
Yeah.
Just get life back to normal, and hopefully we can get the crowds out at the football this year and we don't have any interruptions. I think it'll be a great year. As I say, all the clubs have got every opportunity to prepare well. It's been a full off season, which we haven't had. I can't remember the last full off season we had.
Yeah.
So it's I think the players should be fit and well come the time March for the start of the competition.
Just on that, Gus, obviously the lower levels have also struggled too to have games. And how much do you think that's going to impact the talent that's coming through?
Oh, massively, massively. I feel really sorry for kids, you know, particularly in that age group of sort of 17 to 20, and that's where you're starting to make decisions as to whether or not they're starting to make decisions, whether they're good enough to be an NRL player, and you're making decisions on their future. And there are so many kids that have missed out on their age group representative football. They haven't been able to play second tier football to take the next leap. And I think that's, we've seen this in the competition. It's one of the factors that hasn't been really publicised, is that some of the blowout scores that we see, or some of the differences in team strengths when they get injuries, or you know, rep football comes around, people aren't playing lower grade football. They're not getting development football, so they're sort of being thrust after 4 or 5 weeks off, or 4 or 5 weeks of just training, they're thrown into an NRL game. And if you happen to run into the Melbourne Storm or the Panthers or the Roosters on a good day, well, it's a pretty harrowing experience. And yeah, we have to keep this in mind. We raised the age groups. It used to be 16s, 18s, 20s, and then you go into your second-tier football. Well, we made the decision 2 years ago to 17s, 19s and 21s. That gives them a chance to stay a little bit longer in that junior rep system. They've missed 2 years now. We've got big squads in those areas because kids haven't played enough football. We haven't seen enough of them. And they also haven't had the development. If the club wasn't set up right, as the Bulldogs weren't, for physical development away from playing, certainly in their training, then they've missed opportunities as well. And I think that's, you know, where some of the clubs that have really focused on development over the last few years, which is your Panthers and your Roosters and your Melbourne Storms and those clubs, have sort of gravitated towards the top because, you know, kids coming into their NRL program are still ready to go. And I think a lot of other clubs have sort of dropped the ball in that regard, with fellas being developed through this. Clubs are picking up their act now. A lot of the clubs are starting to work really hard on that development part of it. And we want to give these kids every opportunity to succeed, and even kids in the country. If they stay in the country too long, well, they get further behind those that are in the NRL program. So I don't want to get too technical about it all, but, you know, it's the programs you run at those age groups between 16 and 20 are massively important for the future of the game, for the future of the NRL, let alone just your club.
Yeah. When you hold the positions that you do, Gus, the criticisms come thick and fast, and you've been doing it for over 30 years now. Have you become immune to it? Is it hurtful at all? Do you dismiss it? How does that play out for you now?
What criticism is that, Jimmy?
Jimmy. This is Jimmy. Just Jimmy's interview now, Gus. I'm leaving.
You got something you want to tell me?
No, not at all. But
that's
I'm
a Jimmy
sure
question.
Fully aware of the criticisms that come your way, whether it be commentary, position, etc. And you know, sometimes it's related to the news organisation you do or do not work for. But I'm just interested in your thoughts on that.
As long as they're entertained, I'm okay.
Right.
No, it doesn't affect what I do or the way I think about it. I just get in and do my job, same with everybody else. And I said my job is to get the right people in the right jobs so that they can do their job and let them do their job. And that's the way I've always operated. And there are plenty of talented people out there and they just need the opportunity. And players need the opportunity. Players need confidence. They need self-belief. You know, better than anyone, Jimmy, it comes down to that a lot. It's not so much about talent. There's plenty of hard work and there's plenty of setbacks and there's plenty of, you know, missed opportunities and things don't always go your right way. You know, you need to be there supporting the players. And sometimes I think we believe in them more than they believe in themselves. But if they can get over that barrier, then, you know, they can have good careers in the NRL. And, you know, if they can do that, it's productive for them. But, you know, for the Bulldogs, it's a club, you know, with great history, and it's been very tough in recent times, but we'll get back there.
Gus, just before we let you go, I know you enjoy the cricket and I'm sure you enjoyed the Ashes win. Do you enjoy the cricket because you're not involved in it? It's just something you can just watch as a sport?
No, I love cricket. I've always watched the cricket. Mm-hmm. It's the sound of summer in my house, wherever I've lived as a boy or or even now. I love the cricket during the summer and watching it. And the Australian team's had a great couple of months, haven't they, winning the World Cup and then now the Ashes. I feel sorry for England a little bit, and I guess we've had a taste of it with the rugby league. I mean, people don't underestimate how hard it is. You come out here and you're on tour and you're living in hotels and quarantines and you're living a COVID existence, and it's, I don't know that they're enjoying themselves very much in England at the moment. It's very, very tough for them. Yeah. And it's, you know, and it's been proven. Cricket teams come here for the summer and they don't have a solid top order batting. They can't get runs at the start of their innings. Well, they're in trouble. And that's been proven again this summer here. You know, when you've got, when your top order's struggling and you've got a long tail, there's not much, there aren't many runs on offer for you. And that's England's problem at the moment. So they look a pretty dispirited lot. They just need to lift and finish off the tour.
Gus, you've been incredibly generous with your time. We do appreciate it. Just before we do let you go, Jaleesa would like to know where on the ladder you think the Bulldogs will. She's really.
I told you first. We'll go for
you
the
already
top.
Told me. I've already put money on the Bulldogs to take the premiership. Yeah.
There you go.
I do know this. I do know this. This is the longest interview I've ever done. So you've broken a record there, the pair of you.
We could go longer.
Yeah, we're very humbled by it. So I know you are busy and I know you've got lots
really
of things going on.
It.
So, mate, really appreciate your time. Really excited about for what's going to happen for the Bulldogs in 2022. And thanks for being a part of 1170 SEN.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thanks, Bye-bye. Gus.